So we're going to move on to our message now. We're going to be getting into our next proverb that we're learning about. We're trying to get into headlines. What's the one message that we can take away from each of our talks? The message I want to drive home today is pursue truth and truthfulness with all your heart. Pursue truth and truthfulness with all your heart. If there's nothing else you take away from what I'm going to say, remember this. I want to acknowledge this morning, it's not always easy. We're going to discover that this morning. It's not always easy. We can slip into lies or maybe just minor deception. Maybe it's just not quite being truthful with people. But the wisdom of God that we're going to look at in Proverbs is to keep seeking and telling the truth. Will you imagine a scene with me, please? Might need to close your eyes. I like a nod there, Nick. Thank you. Nod. I'm willing to go with you, Rich. This is a scene. There's a man in his 50s. He's known as Jessup, and he's sitting in a courtroom witness chair. He's being interrogated by a lawyer called Caffey. It's a sunny day outside, but inside it's cold, the walls are bare, and the atmosphere is tense. It's a private hearing, just a judge, witness, and a few lawyers. The question at hand is this: is Jessup responsible for the harm caused to a young man just starting out in life? Jessup is being pressed for more information, and Caffey is doing the pushing. He's angry. He thinks Jessup is being sneaky, not willing to face up to what really happened. Caffey starts shouting and asks his top question. Jessup is told, "Don't answer." But Caffey is so angry. He dislikes Caffey so much that he replies, "Do you want answers?" Caffey, his accuser, responds, "I think I'm entitled to answers." Jessup again, "Do you want answers?" Caffey responds again, "I want the truth." Does anyone know what's coming next? The immortal line from the 1992 film A Few Good Men, all together now: "You can't handle the truth." And we know that remarkable scene. There he is, Jack Nicholson. "You can't handle the truth." Can you handle the truth? Hands up, everyone here. Everyone can listen to this. Hands up if you've ever told a lie or said something that wasn't really true. Interesting. Toby, what a good boy. Toby, you can't remember. How about that? Mum, do you think he's ever told a lie? What do you think? I wonder. Okay. Let's keep those hands up. Let's see how honest we get. I wonder, hands up if you've told a lie or bent the truth this week. Oh, I can't remember. How convenient. I can tell you for sure I've told somebody I'm fine when I'm not really. Oh, have we ever done that? How easily does that happen? How are you doing? I'm fine, thanks. No, I'm not at all. I'm really sad. I'm really frustrated. Cheryl is asking, did they really mean the question? Well, poor, yeah, indeed. I'd like to suggest that we like to say we talk the truth, we seek the truth, but sometimes sticking to the truth can make our lives uncomfortable. Perhaps it means people see us differently. Maybe we're going to disappoint them. Or maybe it's going to mean we have to deal with things we don't really want to deal with. Sometimes it'd be easier just to pretend, wouldn't it? I'll just say what I need to say to pretend. So our wisdom from Proverbs is this: a witness who tells the truth saves lives, but one who tells lies hurts others. Can we all say that together, please? A witness who tells the truth saves lives, but one who tells lies hurts others. And one more time, just to get it in there. A witness who tells the truth saves lives, but one who tells lies hurts others. The wisdom from God we're pressing into today is that truth-telling is life-saving and life-transforming. Whilst telling lies and giving misrepresentation of the truth can be harmful, it can be dangerous, and it can be hurtful. Now, the Bible gives us a really good insight into human behavior. Just 3 chapters and 12 verses into the book of Genesis, and Adam is presenting truth in a particular way. Adam and Eve have eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Suddenly they're scared and hiding from God. God knows something is wrong and questions Adam. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Adam replies, let's listen carefully. Adam replies, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Now I invite you to just talk with your neighbor. Did Adam tell the truth? What did he do? Did he tell the truth? Was he honest? And did he really answer God's question? Just invite you, 30 seconds, what's your gut reaction? What was Adam doing there? This is wonderful to see the marital conversations going on here. I'm with you guys. He said it just how it was. Absolutely, yeah. I would just like to suggest to you that this is a good example of how we like to present truth. See, it's very easy. I think we can look at a proverb that says, oh, well, truth-telling is what we're all about, and lying is really bad. And we can go, yeah, that's fine, I'm with you, absolutely, I tell the truth. Actually, I think we have a far greater vulnerability that I personally, and maybe others of us can too, which is that we like to present truth or information in a particular way, particularly in a way that might make us look better than maybe we really are. That, I think, is the vulnerability we're pressing into today. Proverbs 8, verse 7, the writer is saying, I detest every kind of deception. I detest every kind of deception. It's a challenge, isn't it? How easily we can make potentially little deceptions. It's not purely about telling lies. It's about our integrity and whether we are who we say we are. See, we're relational people. We are made for relationship. And a core part of what it means to be in relationship is whether we trust that person, whether we think they're being straight with us, whether they're true to their word. And God is interested in whether we're straight with him. You know, there are layers of pain and sin caught in that moment between Adam and Eve and God, aren't there? But one aspect of it is that suddenly Adam has introduced a new dimension between him and God. He is no longer being completely open with God. He's decided he no longer needs to be straight with him. How vulnerable we can be to that too. So now let's look at this in terms of our relationships with each other. And to do this, I'm going to need some helpers to assist me with Cheeky Monkey. Cheeky Monkey. Now, first up, I need somebody who is going to love and care for and hold Cheeky Monkey for me the whole time. Annabelle, let's go for yourself, please. Don't worry, Arthur, we'll get your help. And I'd like you to stand behind Cheeky Monkey, and can you hold him in this way? Now, give him a big, tight cuddle. That is lovely, isn't it? Next up, we need somebody, please, to hold some strings coming from Cheeky Monkey quite tight. My wife, would you do that, please? Could you help? You need two from that side and two from his other hand, and stand that way, please. Yes, please. Two from each hand. Now, what I need next is I've got a series of incidents that I think can happen between people. And so what I want to show here, I've got to spread these out. Matt, would you mind spreading those out for me, please? And we've got light green and dark green. Now, the light green are lies there, and the green are going to be truths. Now, what we've got here, if you stand apart a good way, so I want you to imagine these ropes in between Cheeky Monkey and Laura stand for like the strength of relationship between her friend Cheeky Monkey and Laura. Aren't they? They're loving each other. They're tight together. Now, I would like somebody, please, to come out. Would somebody like to read out a light green piece of information here? Let's get a few people. Can I get about four people to come up? Come on then, Tabitha. Come and pick one of these light greens. Humph as well. Andy, you pick a light green one as well. Then when you've picked it out, take it to the microphone. So, Andy, why don't you go first? And then, in fact, Arthur. Where's Arthur? You come here for me, please. And I'd like you to be my scissors man. There we go. You be careful with those. That's who we go. Never work with children and scissors. Okay. Humph, would you... Don't worry, it'll be okay. Humph, would you please read out what happens?
You break your friend's new birthday present, but leave it out somewhere and pretend someone else did it.
Ooh. Okay. Arthur, would you please cut that string there for me, please? Do you think you could do that for me? Get it? Not my finger. Give it a good... you might need to... okay, just a little bit weaker there. Tabitha, can we go for another light green one, please?
You lie for your friend and say they didn't do something when you know they did.
Okay, Arthur, can we cut one of these strings, please? Thanks, Humph, can you do it? We need two more truth tellers. There we go. It's getting a bit weaker, isn't it? Suddenly that strength of relationship between Cheeky Monkey and Laura isn't quite so tight. Can we get another two people, please, to read? Come on then, Toby, and come on, Elijah. Brilliant. Matt, would you be a microphone man, please? So two more light green ones, please. There we go. You pick one out. There we go, Elijah. That's brilliant. What else have we got? You go to the microphone, please, Elijah.
They're doing a preach in church and they practice with you first. They're using a bad example that will make them look silly, but you say it's fine.
Imagine a friend telling you that the example they're using is perfectly fine when really it's awful. I wonder if that's ever happened. Arthur, would you please cut another string for us? not that one. Want this one here, buddy. That's it. Oh, no. Okay, it's getting weaker. It is just one string left. Toby, fire away.
You taste your friend's cooking before a big meal, for a guest says it's fine when it really, it's bad.
You taste the food and you say it's fine for guests, and really isn't. And that is the last straw. Arthur, will you cut this one for me, please? The friendship is broken. Thanks for the dramatic presentation there. I hope you understand what's going on here, that we can have these bonds between people, but truth and lies can affect them. And if we keep on misrepresenting the truth or not being accurate or truthful with our friends, we can damage that relationship. Now we need two truths. Can we get two truth readers, please? Who would like to come up? Let's go on, Julia. There we go. Pick a dark green one for us and Cheryl as well. Thank you.
You tell your friend that you think their choice of clothing is not right for where they're going.
Well done, Julia. So that's...
Choice of clothing. My husband knows that one.
So you lovingly tell your friend that maybe their choice of clothing isn't so great. Now look, a new bond has been formed. Well done. Thank you. There we are. The bond is getting tighter again. And then the last one, please, Cheryl.
Thanks, Arthur.
You tell your friend that you're worried about them as they don't seem very happy and you want them to be.
Thank you, Cheryl. You're honest with your friend. You tell them you're worried. Arthur, would you pass that last one to Laura now, please? Pass that string to Laura. There we go. Thank you very much, Arthur. And Annabelle, thank you very much. You can sit down now. Thank you, Cheeky Monkey. And Laura and Cheeky Monkey are friends again. Isn't that wonderful? You might remember Cheeky Monkey, Heather. I guess I just wanted to show with that something that the proverb is telling us. Hurt is caused by mistruth. Doing that in a jokey way. But I think there are bonds between us, aren't there? There are bonds between me and you. There are bonds between each other. And when we misrepresent truth between us, when we tell a lie, we can harm those relationships. We can cut those bonds. That trust can feel a bit weaker. Equally, when we're honest with each other, we can build those bonds. We can strengthen that relationship. Now, the other thing I just want us to be aware of is truth and lies around us and how much we need to know that. Did anyone see the news that was on yesterday? If you didn't, I did take a screenshot. Would you mind just clicking on the screen? It seems to have gone forward. Where are we? There we go. There we are. Anybody see this on the news? You must have caught this. I caught it at 2:31 in the afternoon yesterday, and I took a screenshot of it because I thought you would all like to know. Cummings signs for Arsenal. Breaking news. Mikel Arteta says he's my number one, and Bukayo Saka said, I can't wait to work with him. Isn't that kind? I can't wait to work with Saka either. Just brilliant. Is that true? Is it true? But that is me. That's my photo in front of the media boarding in the Emirates Stadium. And it's a set of news that says breaking news, and it's got a time on it, and it's got quotes from somebody else. That's true, isn't it? How can you tell me that's not true? Fake news. Lies, fake news. Do you know a report was done in 2019 that found that 19 of the 20 top Christian Facebook pages in America were being run by fake news sites in Eastern Europe? 19 of the top 20. That means the majority of information that was going to American non-Christians on Facebook was deliberately misrepresentative and deliberately placed to try and deceive us. That's terrifying, no? One of the prime things I find myself needing to do as a parent is trying to raise my children to be discerning about what is true. Never before have we had the amount of misrepresentation and lies presented to us as we have now on a daily basis. And they hurt, don't they? They cause harm and they can even lead to death. Let's not mince our words. So I guess I just want to say also, when we hear this proverb, yes, it's calling us to be truthful in our relationships, but we're also required to be discerning and to be alert to the mistruth that is around us today. The advice from Paul is this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Never before has there been such a time when we need to be so focused on seeking God for his truth and being attentive to what he's saying when there are so many distractions and mistruths around us, and they require the practice of seeking God first. So as we're coming to close now, we're going to be receiving the bread and wine very soon and then be finishing up. But I'm reminded of the advice I try to give our children when the moments come in which maybe they're not entirely truthful with me. And it can happen. And I always say, it's not just about whether you lied or not. It's about the future we want to have together. There are such good things ahead for us. There are so many things we can enjoy together. If I can be confident, I can trust you. And I know that what you're saying to me and how we're relating to each other is truthful. There's so much I want to give you. There's so much in store if I know we are seeing eye to eye. And I think God would say to us this morning, there is so much I have in store for you still. So many good things I want to give you, but only be truthful with one another. Be straight with one another and be straight with me. And to do that, we look to Jesus, don't we? And so we return to those opening verses. And Laura, if you want to come up and guide us through then into our response. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.